Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
The eight-week shutdown loosens today in Rockland, Westchester, and Points North.
It's the first step toward getting back to business in the Hudson Valley.
So we're heading in the right direction.
I'm Sean Adams in White Plains.
The New York Stock Exchange reopens this morning with a quarter of the traders and temperature checks.
We need to get America restarted and New York restarted.
I'm Marla Diamond in Lower Manhattan.
But wait, hasn't trading worked well remotely?
If so much trading is already done electronically, why do you need to open the trading floor?
It's a great question.
We will hear the answer from the president of the New York Stock Exchange. Also coming up, the connection between COVID and brain attacks.
Patrick Ewing is out of the hospital and recovering from the coronavirus at home. This is Brad Heller.
And this is Tuesday, May 26th.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup. A deeper dive into the stories you need to start your day with fewer commercials.
Good to have you along with us. I'm Wayne Cabot. Well, we got through the Memorial Day weekend, which was kind of surreal, wasn't it? But it almost seems like we really have entered a new phase, at least in our thinking and our feeling about the fact that summer is upon us and maybe we're pulling out of this. It certainly is a new day in Westchester and Rockland and the rest of the Mid-Hudson region today. Phase one reopening. Sean Adams is here live in White Plains. Sean, what's allowed to open today?
Well, construction. So the hard hats, they can start building things again. Wholesalers, they can rev up the supply chains. Manufacturers can make their products. And select retail can start selling again. Curbside pickup. This is for a large swath of the Hudson Valley: Orange, Rockland, Westchester, Putnam, Dutchess, Sullivan, and Ulster counties. Westchester County Executive George Latimer believes phase two will happen quickly because coronavirus deaths and infections are way down.
The second phase, however, retail and administrative offices, is important for us. That opens up our malls, that opens up the stores in our downtown hamlets and villages, and it also opens up our corporate headquarters because we have a lot of major corporations, IBM, MasterCard, Regeneron, other operations that are here, and many, many smaller businesses.
Social distancing and masks are still essential. Also critical for the reopening process, testing, contact tracing, and isolation. Wayne?
Sean, what about outside dining? The idea that you can go safely eat outdoors like we're seeing now in Connecticut.
Well, that's a great question. New York differs from Connecticut here. The reopening has been done sort of on a regional basis, but there are some differences. Connecticut has allowed outdoor dining. We saw that last week. Governor Cuomo says New York can't do that. There's a big difference in density. So restaurants are slated to reopen in phase three. We're just here at phase one. Restaurant owners, though, they've been lobbying big time for a return to outdoor dining. The weather's getting nice. People want to return to restaurants in some capacity. In New York City, there's a big push to maybe take some of those closed down streets and put up some tables in the streets. But so far, no luck with that.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Yeah, the five boroughs would be the only places still shut down after Long Island reopens. And that phase one reopening is this close.
At this rate, could open by Wednesday if the number of deaths continues to decline and we get that tracing up.
Right, tomorrow, says Governor Cuomo. Traders are back today on the floor of the NYSE, and Marla Diamond is live on that story. Marla, how's that going to work out?
Well, the famed trading floor is reopening this morning, Wayne, but the exchange is not going back to normal. Only a quarter of traders will be back. They must wear masks, and their temperatures will be taken upon entering the building, says Stacy Cunningham, the president of the stock exchange.
Anyone that doesn't pass that screening won't be allowed to enter the building.
A visitor ban means there will be no ceremonial bell ringings, and plexiglass barriers have been set up to keep workers apart. Media organizations that broadcast from the floor will not be there. And to return to their jobs, floor traders must sign a liability waiver, preventing them from suing the stock exchange if they're infected. So why open at all?
We need to get America restarted and New York restarted.
The New York Stock Exchange has one of the world's largest exchange trading floors, though its population has severely declined over the past two decades as markets have gone electronic. The reopening today is largely symbolic. And we're live in Lower Manhattan. Marla Diamond, WCBS News Radio 880.
That's a good way of looking at it. Largely symbolic, because even before the lockdown, 80% of trading was done online. In fact, CBS News' Dana Jacobson asked the NYSE president, Stacey Cunningham, about that.
If so much trading is already done electronically, why do you need to open the trading floor?
It's a great question. It's the moments in time, those moments of stress where it matters most, is where human judgment is most valuable. The traders on the floor aren't going to stop major market movements, but they're going to make that micro volatility, the small, rounded out around the edges, which saves investors money. And we have seen a degradation since we closed the trading floor.
Canada's main stock index posted a triple-digit advance to start the trading week, led by a resurgence among cannabis stocks. At a time overall retail was down 10% across Canada, weed sales were up 19% as a result of either panic over a potential supply shortage or maybe just a growing appetite for legal green. Stock futures pointed to a higher opening around here this morning, and Joe Connolly's here with this morning's big money story. Joe.
Wayne, if you are thinking about starting your own business because you may not be called back to work as soon as hoped, don't spend too long thinking about it. Just start. Get what they call an MVP out there, a minimally viable product. Go from there. People often wonder how much they should charge if they start their own business. Well, see what others providing a similar product or service charge. But another possible starting point is to calculate how much you earn an hour in your current job or your last job, because someone's already paying you that. Be careful of making a hobby your business. Make your business in what you're best at. Make it based on your super skill. Keep the hobby for the weekend. I'm Joe Connolly for Bloomberg and WCBS News Radio 880.
As I still search for my super skill, thank you, Joe. Something is really pushing the market higher. As you pointed out before, Joe, Dow futures now up 509 points. It's about 2%.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
Now on the Morning News Roundup, our chief meteorologist Craig Allen is here with a forecast. A little bit drippy this morning, Craig.
For the morning hours, yeah, it was like this for the entire holiday weekend. You had to wait until mid to late morning inland, and you had to wait till about mid to late afternoon for some of the coastal areas for the sun to finally burn through. We'll do it again today. Highs will reach the middle 70s for most inland areas where the sun comes through first. 60s right along the shore. Tonight, clouds, fog returning. Lows near 60, 50s in the suburbs. And again tomorrow, morning clouds and fog burning away into a 74 to 78 degree afternoon. 60s right along the shoreline. And Thursday, we'll add a chance for a shower or thunderstorm late Thursday or Thursday night. And the high between 75 and 80 on Thursday. Right now, light variable winds, but mainly coming in off that ocean. It's 60 in the city, humidity 89%.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
Memorial Day was all about freedom on the boardwalk at Point Pleasant, with hundreds chanting Open New Jersey Now, led by State Senator Joe Panaccio, who said, "Your freedoms were brought to you by the men and women who fought for them, and that these freedoms are being denied under the guise of public health."
Now, I don't begrudge their right to protest, but they don't sway me. The only thing that sways me are the facts and the data and the science.
Well, Joe Panaccio, the senator, asked, well, where's the science or common sense in allowing big box stores to welcome shoppers while the things they sell are being denied at mom-and-pop shops? Churches reopened today in the Brooklyn Diocese for private prayer. Masks are mandatory for those who are uncomfortable praying among people. Mass will continue to be streamed. Funerals, baptisms, weddings will all be limited to 10 people. The New York Archdiocese hopes to reopen sometime this week. Oh, going to be a fun day, I can tell. Brad Heller's here about sports. Morning, Brad.
Good morning, Wayne. Encouraging news for Hall of Famer and Knicks legend Patrick Ewing. He is out of the hospital and back home, recovering from the coronavirus. His son says that dad's symptoms are being watched and he's getting better. Ewing announced the positive diagnosis on Friday and said he would be fine. He also urged everybody to take the virus seriously. And the Major League Baseball economic proposal we've been hearing so much about, well, that's supposed to be presented to the Players Union today. Could be a big, big step as we try and we hope for a 2020 season. The Athletic says this proposal will not include the 50-50 revenue split, which the players have said is a non-starter. Brad Heller, WCBS News Radio 880.
Hey, Brad, you know what I forgot to watch? That golf event, that charity golf event on Sunday. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. You missed. I'm telling you what, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm not a huge golf fan, but seeing Peyton Manning and Tom Brady out there with Tiger and Phil, it was fun. It was definitely fun to watch.
So if your money was on Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, you won.
You did, although it was a lot closer than people thought. I mean, it looked like they were going to run away with things on the front nine, and then Phil and Tom made a big comeback on the back nine. And it ended up being the most watched golf event in cable television history, so apparently everybody watched it but you.
I think you're right. I'm sorry I missed it. $20 million raised. All right, thank you, Brad. Hey, we hear from the Queen's guitarist Brian May this morning. He has had a bad month of health issues, nothing to do with the virus. First he tore a muscle in his buttocks while he was out gardening. In a video on his website, he says that his pain was not consistent with his injury, so an MRI was done, and it showed he had a compressed sciatic nerve. Sometime after that, though, Brian May says he experienced about 40 minutes of chest pain, what he calls a small heart attack. He had three congested arteries. He was shocked, he says, because he leads a healthy lifestyle. It is the Morning News Roundup here on WCBS on a Tuesday morning, and we're sponsored by Dell Small Business. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors offer advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors. Call an advisor today at 877-BY-DELL. It is the Morning News Roundup here on WCBS on a Tuesday morning. Feels like a Monday. Three things to know. Death benefits will be provided for essential workers in the public sector who have died from coronavirus. That announcement from Governor Cuomo came yesterday. A second thing, while crime did drop right after the city lockdown, shootings have increased the past month to levels higher than the start of the crisis. NYPD Chief of Department Terrence Monahan says East Flatbush and Canarsie are the worst. A lot of it driven by gang violence.
Brooklyn far and away leads the city in gun arrests. They have 185 gun arrests over the last 28 days out of 310 citywide.
The third thing, President Trump has moved up Thursday's ban on travelers from Brazil to today, meaning anybody there in the past 2 weeks cannot enter the U.S. Brazil is second only to the U.S. when it comes to virus cases. Its president, Bolsonaro, played down the virus. Bolsonaro saying it was like a little flu. He is pushing governors to reopen for business. There is something about the virus that seems to attack the brain. Health and well-being reporter Pat Farnak spoke about that with Dr. Philip Stieg with Weill Cornell Brain and Spine.
We're just about actually to submit a paper looking at our institution's COVID patients, and we had over 2,500 patients within the New York Presbyterian system, the largest number of patients within the metropolitan area. 1.5% of the patients had what are called ischemic strokes. There are two types of strokes. One where blood vessels get plugged up, and then the other type is where you bleed into your brain. And we're talking about the one where the blood vessels get plugged up. And this 1.5% rate is 7 times higher than the average number of strokes seen in patients that have routine influenzas.
Why do you think that COVID-19 is causing strokes, and who's most at risk?
We found that the most strokes occur in the elderly patients with severe infections. In addition to that, the elderly patients have secondary disorders, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, so it sets them up.
We are hearing about people with strokes and heart attacks afraid to come to the ER, and that seems to be a big problem.
I had several patients during this crisis that laid around at home for about 5 days or after they had a ruptured aneurysm in their head. I would want to reassure patients that they can come to the emergency room. The hospital has made all the arrangements that we possibly can following the Department of Health guidelines and the CDC guidelines to isolate COVID-positive patients from patients that we don't know whether they're positive. They don't have symptoms.
Advice here from Weill Cornell, Dr. Philip Stieg. Don't put off if you have some symptoms involving your brain. Not a wise move. Telling Pat Farnak, some patients with the virus develop severe strokes. It was on this date in 1971 in New York City at a place called the Record Plant, where an artist named Don McLean recorded a song called American Pie, which would be released the following November. And we hope as this pandemic continues and live music is shut down that his words do not prove prophetic.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup, a daily download of the news you need to start your day. On air, on radio.com, and delivered to your phone and computer for on-demand listening.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.